We've been recording for over 600 episodes now, and to say that we've run out of ideas is an understatement.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week at Geeks Without God, we are live back at our home convention, Convergence. We took questions from the audience. We told them that we would answer anything, and so we did.
We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. We are recording live at Convergence 2024. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Con!
And Tim Wick.
Con! That's
and
literally...
And that's Convergence, in a nutshell.
That's literally what I was going to do.
30 seconds.
That's true. Us nerds do love saying the same jokes. Mm-hmm. We have solicited our wonderful audience for some guests and guest topics and some Q&A and some questions. Our first episode for Convergence, we're going to go through some of these great questions we got from everyone. Some folks identified themselves, some did not, and we'll go through them, and we'll get a chance to have you ask us some more questions at the end when we go through these.
Yeah, we'll get through as many as we can. Yeah.
All right. Great. All right. So our first question here is, how do you cope with family that loves religion? Lol. And there are hearts around love. So like it's I want to emphasize that they really love religion.
Kissy, kissy.
Boy. Like
so if, I don't have any family members that like are really into it at all. And
you have
Lutherans on and like
Lutheran ministers but a number of them.
They're the Minnesotan kind that it's just that's their business. They don't really it's not fundy.
They're like out there, you know, like performing gay marriages the first month it was legal and stuff like that. So I mean like they're religious but like benign.
And we don't see them that often because it's extended family.
Right. They're religious but not awful.
Yeah. They're reasonable folks.
What about you, Tim? What about do you have cousins? Stuff?
You know, a lot. There are actually several. My mother, who recently passed away, was Catholic and very very devout. And she and I had plenty of conversations about religion, and she was always very accepting of who I was and what I believed, as I was accepting of who she was and what she believed. So that was pretty good. Actually, some of my aunts and cousins and uncles are more religious, and we don't really we get along super
Catholic
well.
Catholic religious, or
actually, most of them are Protestant. They aren't like super creepy Protestant, but they are Protestant. And we really don't talk religion. We talk everything else. So it works out okay. So I don't have a family member that I can say I really have that kind of issue with.
I mean, I have friends and people in my life that are, you know, very, pretty religious, and I think. Like, it kind of comes down to, you know, how much does their love of their religion and how they participate in it and how it shapes their beliefs, like, something that's in direct conflict to my core values, right? So, if their love for the religion is just, like, the enthusiasm for a fandom or something like that, and maybe it's good for them and it's not really hurting me and they're not actively proselytizing and trying to convert me, then I treat it like if someone comes up to you and they want to talk to you about like an anime that you're just not familiar with, and you're like, "Oh yeah, then what happened in One Piece?
Have
oh,
you
cool.
heard the good word about Lord Luffy?"
And you can like kind of politely like, you know, not indulge them, but kind of indulge them and let them squee about the thing that they're excited about. But then this next question, this kind of segues
I just wanted to say that for me, it's a little bit like, you know, somebody telling you about their D&D character that they rolled up.
Yeah. But then the very next question, and that was from Bree, the next question we have from Ryan is, how do you talk to a religious family that are pushy? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's kind of like the other side of the same coin, right? If you have family that's very, very enthusiastic about religion and they love religion, but it does have a negative impact on you, then I think maybe it's time to start setting some boundaries, right? Like, I don't know. How do you guys do that?
Nobody has the right to be shitty to you. I don't care what they believe. So if someone is treating you badly, it doesn't... just because they're related to you, they also do not have the right to do that. And that is something that's really hard in a lot of families. My family thinks that they can just be that they can be mean to me, they can be mean to each other, and I won't put up with it, and now I'm the stick in the mud because I don't get jokes. I don't know if you guys know that about me, but I don't get jokes and I'm not funny because I don't like being abused by a narcissist, I guess. So, but no, like, just... I think really you push back because people who push, that is the only thing they really respect, is being pushed in turn, and then they'll be like, oh, wow, okay, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I think boundaries are super important. And if people won't if people will not respect your boundaries, I realize that this can be very difficult for some people, but there is a difference between your family and your chosen family, right? And I think that you really need to think about sometimes going, I don't need to associate with this person. I found the block tool on Facebook super useful. And it's not even about people that I don't like. It's about people that I'm like, nope, I don't like interacting with you in this environment. And I will interact with you in person. But this environment is bad. It's bad for you. It's bad for me. Let's stop.
Yeah.
And finding a way to say that in a way that isn't really attacking can be difficult. And sometimes, if you don't want to associate with that person anymore, you can go further. But I think what...
And kill them.
Yeah.
No,
you heard it here, folks. Geeks Without God condones murder.
Yeah. We are giving out ribbons that kill fascists. So
that's important. You don't owe anyone that window into your life and that participation and... You know, unfortunately, it's kind of up to you to set those boundaries, and that can be difficult.
Yeah, especially with family.
Practice maybe with small boundaries first and work your way up.
Yeah.
If that's something that's not comfortable to you.
Yeah, I think a good lesson, my wife, her mom is, what's the word I want to, pain in the ass. And what Pat has really done is, over the years, set very clear boundaries about interaction.
Yep.
With her mom, and that is not something that is instant, but setting boundaries and enforcing them is really the best way to make it work. If you are not willing to face this boundary, then the consequence is we don't spend time together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had to do a lot of that kind of boundary setting ever since January 6th, 2020 or so.
Oh, is that when?
All right. Our next question is from our upcoming guest, Nikki Armstrong. What are your thoughts on other religions besides Christianity? And it says secular or non-secular.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I really feel like I don't really feel... So it's hard because Christianity is the dominant religion in America, and that is where I have always lived and spent pretty much all of my time. 99.9% of my time is in the United States of America, and that is, you know, what we are experiencing all the time. So other religions feel... They are minorities here, and that it makes... There's a different category now, right? Because now we're not talking about, you know, the dominant culture and the people in power. We are sharing something in our minority status. So I don't respect any religion. I think all religions are equally just dumb. I mean, they're fine. They're comfort. People, whatever they do, as long as you're not bothering me, I really don't give a fuck what you do with your life. But... I think that Christianity we have to work harder against because it's trying to get into our government. And our government is trying to turn Christo-fascist. They're not trying to turn Judeo-fascist. They're not trying to turn Islamo-fascist. They are specifically trying to push a Christian agenda. So that's why I think it's more important that we talk against that and we talk about how to work through that as a country.
Yeah, it's... It's kind of that thing like you racism, the word itself implies like a power structure at play, right? You can't be racist against white people. You can discriminate against white people. Molly can. She's special.
I'm really good
She's special. But because there's a power dynamic at play, right? And because Christianity is a dominant part of our culture, bleh, the rules are a little bit different, yeah. right? And so the reason we talk about it the most is it's what is impacting us the
yeah,
most.
If we were in a predominantly Muslim country, we probably would be talking more about Islam. But I mean, on the very basic level, if I'm honest, and hello, I guess I'll be honest today, somebody asked me, what do I think about other religions, including Christianity and so on, I think they're wrong. I just do. Now, that doesn't mean I hate people who believe in them, or I don't understand why they believe in them. I mean, I get where all of it comes from, but if I'm honest, what do I think? I think they're all wrong. And further, I think they are dangerous because I believe that they are controlled not by a deity, but by very fallible and dangerous human beings.
Word.
Right. Yeah.
Word.
Right. Right, so, our next one. Many years ago, this is from Michael, a Gallup poll claimed that atheists were more hated than LGBTQ plus persons.
Yes.
What do you think?
We're number one.
Are we still number one most hated? I just, like, at its face before answering the question, I'm not a big fan of like the oppression Olympics where it's like we have it bad. Oh yeah, well we have it worse. Well
you have a house, must be nice. Oh, you have a roof, must be nice. Like
right, like it's this is good for like empathy building, right, and not for figuring out who's the most oppressed person or anything because it's not atheists. I think it's probably easier for a queer person to get elected to office in the most places, in some places.
A Christian queer person.
or maybe even a religious queer person.
An outwardly, like...
Yeah.
Like,
then it would be an atheist. Yeah. But in terms of, like, danger to your everyday life, personal well-being, the risk of just being who you are on the street, I'm not getting killed for being an atheist. I'm not getting killed for having an atheist t-shirt or something like that.
I don't go on a date and they find out I'm an atheist, so they murder me.
Right.
They murder me because I'm a woman.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, from my perspective as a cisgender, hetero, white male, I appreciate being a minority of something.
Tim thought long and hard. He was like, what could I do? I know, I'll renounce God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now Timmy's on the list.
Yeah. So
I absolutely agree. It's just, I used to say, like, you know, there was a time when they would say, who would you rather leave your child with, somebody who had been convicted of felony murder but had gotten out of jail, or an atheist? And like, more people picked the murderer because they thought that at least then they knew the murderer had received like moral instruction in jail or whatever. And it's just like, or like, we're just considered like baseless, absolutely. Yeah. like it's just crazy.
Ungoverned.
But that's gotten a lot better. Yeah. As there have been more and more people, especially the younger generations, Gen Z and the young millennials, who are moving further and further away from religion in droves, and I think that's driving a lot of it.
Yeah, well, I think things are generally heading in the right direction for everyone, despite what like the culture war zeitgeist would have you think. But I think, you know, actively right now, if you're paying attention to the news at all, there are like a couple specific groups of people who are really getting gunned for, like, unfortunately, literally and figuratively. So,
yeah. And it's not us.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Are some people atheist by temperament, just born that way? I seem to be, says the question asker. Or do people mostly decide to be atheist as they grow up?
That's a good question.
It's kind of a nature nurture.
I know for me, I remember when it happened. I really do, because I was a very fervent. I have autism, and was very hyperactive with my magical thinking as a kid. So the idea of Jesus was very awesome, just like vampires. There were rules, you could do stuff, there were symbols, loved it. And so I was very into, like, I fasted for Lent. I asked my mom if I could not eat so I could be like Jesus and get powers. I'm not kidding. And but like, like, but for real, like once, but then I had these best friends who were both Jewish when I was 9 and 10. And my born again father told me that they were going to go to hell. And I was just like, fuck that. Like, no, in my little brain, I was just like, no, that doesn't make any sense. These are super cool guys. Like, they're my friends. And he was like, nope, they have to accept Jesus Christ or they will burn in an eternal pit of fire. And I remember just going, like, nah, I don't like that. It's just, and so that was the beginning. But, you know, I can really feel that moment of it just being like, well, then this is all a lie. It's all a lie then. That's stupid.
I think, go ahead, Tim.
Sure. In the question of nature versus nurture, my parents were both raised Catholic. They were both Catholic. My father actually was at one time in the seminary to become a Catholic priest. Clearly that didn't take. But I don't remember a time, and I was confirmed in the Catholic Church, and I don't remember a time where God made sense to me. I don't. I every time it came up, every time somebody said, well, God has a plan for you, I'd be like, what? What? Why?
Reveal it.
Can somebody let me know what it is? What, anyway, so it just, for me, there was never a moment where I felt like God existed. It took me a long time to acknowledge that, I guess. But I don't think I ever bought it.
Yeah, I think there are certainly people that, like, just never, it never catches on for them. Like, they might be raised in a religious household and they participate in things culturally, but like in their mind they're just like, this is just a thing we do, we're just going through the motions here, and they just never believe. Maybe because of who they are, maybe because of how they were raised. I think it's really impossible to say, but I think there are certainly people that are just innately, for whatever reason, just don't believe. And then I think there are people that come around to it. And then I think there are people that have their faith shattered, which can be like a really hard thing and a really devastating thing. And there's like a period of mourning where they have that loss.
Yeah, Mark Lazarchik, I remember we had him on a podcast, and he stopped. He was a very devout Catholic until his daughter got cancer, and he was like,
she was like 8.
Yeah, and he's like, what? How can there be a God if kids can get cancer? And it was a shattered moment. His faith was just completely broken at that moment.
I am one of those people that has a tendency toward believing. I always have. It's true.
It's called gullibility.
It is. And one, for real, I am the kid that fell for the word gullible isn't in the dictionary joke or whatever, right? Like, but, and so I think there are people who, like me, who are susceptible to belief, and some of us turn to, I don't know, science fiction and fantasy, and we turn that excitement to things like tarot cards and like the idea that maybe like we could do, we like just think about spells and we like the idea of witchcraft, but maybe we don't believe it really does anything. And then some people take it a step further and make it their religion, and then other people go to Jesus, you know? I mean, I think it's kind of all over the place. But some people are, you know, you're born with a more skeptical, logical nature. That's not me by nature. I have to like work for that. I get hypnotized by commercials. I will all of a sudden be like, I really want to go to Burger King. Nick's like, why? I'm like, I don't know. And then we'll like realize I saw a sign.
It's true. Or she'll be like, you know what? Let's go do this thing. And I'll be like, did you see an advertisement for that on Facebook? It's like, well,
I think
yeah,
so.
Actually, now that you mention it, yeah, maybe. It's great. All right, our next question from Gordo. Why do we die? Is it a bug or a feature? Something or designed obsolescence? I think it
decay.
Is... Decay. Yeah. Got it. I think it is sort of by design in a sense, in that death is beneficial to like diversity in life, right? If you're talking about like evolution and how life has created and prospered and spread and adapted, death is a useful part of that, you know, process to improve and to create diversity in life and mutation and survival of the fittest and all that jazz. So like it's a feature.
Yeah, if
for
we
sure.
Didn't,
yeah.
If
like
we didn't
it's,
die, we wouldn't be here.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm sorry, but we wouldn't. None of us would be here.
Yeah. Like, you know, I know that's not like a super funny answer, but like it's, I think that's pretty, my non-professional, uneducated in, knowledge on evolution seems to back that up. I would Google it and not believe a word I said.
I guess the answer is if we didn't die, overpopulation would be even more of a problem than it already is.
That's what I'm saying. Like the planet would have, resources would have ceased to exist a long time ago if we didn't die. Like it's just, it would be impossible. Because like,
so
think of all the times that a giant plague swept through. I mean, I know there's a recent one, but think of all the times that a giant plague swept through and like really truly, you know, halved the population, you know, of the earth and things. Imagine if none of that had killed anybody. Everyone just, you know, stayed there and then continued to have lots and lots of kids because birth control wasn't really all that good yet. Like there's no way.
Well,
no
then
way.
There's, you know, all the life that comes from death, and the classic example you'll always hear is like how, you know, jack pines don't grow, their pine cones don't open until there's been a forest fire that's come through. So like a necessary part of their life cycle as a tree is for the forest to burn down and for things to die so that it can regrow and that cycle of life can continue in that ecosystem. So all these ecosystems are dependent on death.
Also, I'm not suicidal at all. Please understand that. I don't wish to die. But like, based on how my knees feel this weekend, please let me die someday. I consider that's a feature. Like that sounds,
right?
It sounds nice. I'm there's going to be a point where I know I'm going to be ready to go.
Our next one. How has your fandom or nerddom affected your mental health for the better?
Hmm. Great question.
So this is one of the things I'm a huge nerd about is horror books. I read a lot of horror. It's probably 60% of what I read, and I read about 100 books a year. I feel that it helps me a lot because reading horror is one of the ways as a teenager that I kind of felt like I have bipolar disorder, and I have one of the things for that is I have spiraling dark thoughts when I get manic. And so reading horror actually helped me to realize that like the things I'm thinking are things other people have not only just thought but written down in a book. And so like it's almost like a release of that is to read the scary horrible thing, and then I can almost be like, haha, that was a fun book. I don't have to like obsess about it. I think that there's a lot to be said for the catharsis that comes with something that's really scary or something that's really funny when it comes to your mental health.
I was just trying to think of a good example, a specific example. The first thing that came to mind was in the Stormlight Archive series of books, one of the protagonists is a guy, Kaladin. He deals with serious depression. It was the first time I like read someone else's internal monologue or saw into their head with someone that had depression, where I was like, maybe not as bad as this guy, but like I really saw the way I think about things in a non-productive, self-destructive, spiraling sense, where it's like you can kind of get trapped in your own head and how depression will protect itself and self, you know, perpetuate and prevent you from dealing with it, right? And so, and the character goes through a lot of that over the series of the books, and it's it gets really dire at a few points. But I have to admit that like seeing it in that was like, oh, like yeah, I get okay. That's nice to see. Like you know, and
he's okay. I'll be okay.
Yeah, I don't like see myself in a lot of media or identify with a lot of media that I enjoy, like even when it does represent me. And it was just neat to have that in a moment where it clicked for me that way.
We are very close. So we picked two quick ones.
Yeah. Okay.
So I have I'll do a quick answer.
Yeah.
As somebody who I'm shocker is a little bit neurodivergent. I find that being a nerd, being a fan is an avenue to being social in ways that sometimes make me uncomfortable, because with a bunch of other fans and nerds, there's typically something we can all talk about that we all relate to, which often can lead to other things that we relate to, but at least we have a starting point that's a little less uncomfortable.
All right, these are going to be quicker questions because they're pretty
two last ones.
All right,
we're gonna go through
here. Blue.
what's your current favorite or recommended anime or cartoon show?
There's an anime or cartoon that you like to watch.
Something animated.
I like Spy Family, and it grew on me a lot. I didn't like it at first, and it really grew on me. So that's, and the movie was great.
We're watching My Adventures with Superman on Max, which is a incredibly fucking wholesome Superman cartoon. Lois Lane is like very prominent. Jimmy Olsen, very prominent. A diverse and great casting, good interpretations of the character. Mr. Mixelplixic looks like a fucking anime imp guy. Like, it's all weird. Done in a kind of an anime style. And if you can kind of get over that and get on board, it's a fucking great show. It's really good.
The Harley Quinn show.
Oh, yeah.
And yes. I dig that. It's fun.
So good.
Harley Quinn, the animated series.
All right. Last question?
Yeah. What is your comfort food fandom from your childhood?
Comfort food fandom from your childhood.
Oh, I got an answer for this, and it's gross, but it's real. I love sour things, and sometimes when I'm just really, really in the mood for something weird,
fandom.
I have fandom?
Fandom. Like your comfort food fandom.
Oh, never mind. We won't talk about food
the
anymore.
The thing that you liked as a kid that you still like because it makes you feel like a kid again.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for explaining the question
welcome.
To me. It's because
you're
I'm
welcome.
Old and addled.
You were like, it's gross, and then I'm like, uh-oh, we're going a long tunnel.
Star Wars? Yeah.
Indiana Jones. That was my favorite thing as a kid. I wanted to be Indiana Jones so bad.
That too.
Shit. Yeah. I can't. Yeah. This is tricky. I don't know. I mean, like, Star Wars comes to mind first, but
we watched, we're going to watch a riff a movie.
Oh,
you...
shit. Okay, yeah. I don't know if it's a fandom, but the movie The Last Dragon or bad kung fu movies in general is something I used to watch with
that's
my dad as a kid a lot. And so, like... bad, like dubbed poorly, but like with good action from like the 80s, I want to say like 83 to 89 or so, is just this period of time where we got just delicious trash. And we're going to actually riff some of that delicious trash in Cinema Rex at 2 p.m. with The Last Dragon. Yeah.
Plug!
Those are our questions from you all. Thank you so much for your participation and helping us make this episode. That's great. We're going to... Let's, one more time, we're here live at Convergence 2024. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Hey, you can send us a random question, too. It's not like we're desperate or anything.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks without God.
I'm just gonna save this and then.